Erev Tov. So tonight we're learning in a Raisa Yuma Daf Hey. I'm sorry, Sukkah Daf Hey. Again, we're still catching up. Rich Shem will do a Daf today, a Daf tomorrow, and then we'll be within the Daf. We'll still be off by an Amid, but hopefully by next week, Mr. Shem, early next week, we'll be up to the regular schedule of a Raisa. So we're Sukkah Daf Hey. Just quickly review Sukkah Daf Aleph and a Grace Yeshkeir to Rabbi Rosky for giving the share of my absence last night. So the Gemara Daf Dalad had a couple of interesting topics. We did post, by the way, the recording to the chat for the morning share, if anyone missed it. But the Gemara discussed the Letzi of a Sukkah is 20 amas tall, 20 amas high, the Schach, which makes the Pasuk going to Chamim. There are different ways, different methods to try to shrink the height to make the Sukkah kosher. So namely, if you put three, the Gemara really said there's two considerations to focus on when we talk about what can diminish the height. So you're going to put something on the ground, which raises the ground, which diminishes the airspace. So the material what you put on the ground plays a role, and your machshava when you put it there. The materials they were discussed were karm k'sasayis, pillows and blankets. That's something which is more chashav. People typically are not mevatel that. Even if they are, we said it's badal daitai. That's something people leave on the ground, and therefore that's not going to be a good bitl to diminish the size. When the machleikis were showing him there, whether or not he's being mevatel it, it's batal daita anyway, but he's been batal just for sukkahs, or he's been batal forever. Either way, Rashi and other Rishonim, either way, the Gemara is saying it's no good. The Gemara is saying it's not good bitul because that's abnormal. Then we discuss in the Gemara, but if he puts offer there dirt, it's very normal to leave dirt there. That is ground. Or even if he puts tevin there, which tevin could be used for animal fodder, tevin could be used to make bricks. So tevin, you could leave it there, or you can move it. So over there, we said by tevin with intent to leave there, or offer. Even stam, that would be a moral to be made totally in machlokes or basically the chumim. Try to make it totally machlokes, but the point is something which is both the material that's normal to leave there, and he certainly has intent to leave it there. That for sure would be successful in diminishing and raising the ground, which diminishes the height, and now less than 20 amas to the schach, and therefore it's kosher. The Gemara then discussed more the other way. What if you have schach that's jutting out from the ceiling? You have like little pieces of schach that come down lower. So if it's enough schach that comes lower, there would be more shade than sun. That also makes the sukkah lower, even though the bulk of the schach is higher. But you have enough schach within 20 amas that makes it more shade than sun. That would be sufficient. Then the Gemara discussed, what if you have a sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim tall, and you have a little bit of schach under 10 tefachim sticking out, but it's not enough to make it more shade than sun. So maybe it shouldn't pass the sukkah because you have enough schach. Kosher schach that's 10 tefachim high, and a little bit that's into 10 tefachim, and the Gemara says, no, that for sure would be possible because that is a dira srucha. That's a very confined space to dwell in, and that's not a good dira. And then just to quickly go over the last couple points, the main famous chiddush of the day on Daf Dalet was the din of Deifan Akuma, that let's say if the schach is too high, again, so you build a platform in the middle of the sukkah, and now from your platform to the ceiling is much less than 20 amas, but you don't have your walls unless you connect one of the walls. If you have a platform across the whole sukkah, gavaldi, then you have three walls, you're fine. But if your platform is going across only half the sukkah, you have two of your walls, but your third wall is far away, with the power of Deifan Akuma, as long as it's within four amas, we say that it works to connect the walls without spending too much time on that. Just to be a machlekes, again, I don't know if we spoke out last night, but we spoke out in the morning, a machlekes, what the mechanics of Deifan Akuma are, it's a machlekes v'sheinim, is it the pshat that we view the wall as if it jumps over, the fact that the wall goes straight up and then L shape, and then the ceiling we view as if it curves and comes all the way to meets my schach. Do we just view it as if the wall is moving over, the wall part that goes floor to ceiling is moving over to where my schach is, or do we view it as a long crooked wall? The simple understanding was Deifan Akuma. It's a bent wall. We see wall going up floor to ceiling, and then the first part of the ceiling till the schach is weiter wall. Or do we say no? We view it because there's like bent wall. So it makes the wall that's far away as if it jumps over to where the schach is. A basin of kamina, that the first way to speak out is, what if that section of ceiling from where the schach starts to where the wall, to where it reaches the wall, what if it's made from a guzzle material, a stolen material? If your Deifan Akuma just makes it that I could view my wall, that it jumps over, so my wall jumps over. I need it to connect it in order to allow my wall to jump over. But once it jumps over, it's not part of my kasher sukkah. And if, in fact, the part of it's stolen, doesn't bother me. But again, it's a terrible thing that it's stolen. We're not condoning the stolen, but it wouldn't pass the sukkah. It's not a sukkah gzula. But if you talk of viewing it as if it's all part of the wall, the bent part on top and the ceiling is also part of the wall, if part of my wool is stolen, and not just the slacht, even if part of the wool is stolen, part of the wool I need for kasher is stolen, then my sukkah is puzzled. That would be one of his various nafkaminas, best nafkamina in that chakira. And then the last thing we discussed as well, actually, the last thing we discussed, one second, we discussed also the idea of whether you say good asik or not. Do we say that wools, even if they don't come up, that if you have a platform, the wools continue to rise up? We said for a sukkah, you don't have mechitzas and keres, even if you say good asik, that wouldn't be good enough on top of the platform. But then we got involved with the poles. We're actually going to pick it up with the discussion about the poles. If poles alone, if you have walls around the house, and then you have poles coming up from the edges of those walls, maybe that, together with the walls of the house, does work. We had a machlokes whether the rabbanon and Yaakov argue in both cases, in the middle of the roof, at the edge of the roof, or only at the edge of the roof, or only in the middle of the roof. That was discussion. We'll pick it up from Tanur Rabbanon. We actually, you know, I'm sure at night you got further, but I'm going to pick it up from, for the recording purposes, from Tanur Rabbanon, about 12, 13 lines up on the bottom page, on Dal Amud Beis, that last discussion about these poles, Tanur Rabbanon on Dal Amud Beis. Yes, before we go further, what was the question? Pick it up from Tanur Rabbanon. Nuts Arba Kedaisim Beretz. The secret of the album. So we discussed already, this already earlier in the Dalin, again with Dalin based about 12 lines up at the bottom of the page, if he put four poles into the ground, so he's not at the edges of the walls, he's on the ground, and he put four poles into the ground, and he put a sukkah across them. Rebecca Weimarker says it's kosher. Now, how does that work? The sikha, I'm sorry, I skipped. The sikha gagabam. And he put schach on top of it. Rebecca Weimarker says, Royin ki'ilu, kol she'ilu yichaku v'yachleiku, v'yesh behem, lekan tefach lekan. This is a big yisoid. Vimlav ain't demishim yemid. So the question is, what's type of Rabbi Yaakov? I understand on the edges of, let's say, of a building or of a house, if I put a pole in each one of the corners and then pesach on top, even on our walls, the whole issue was that I really do have walls. The walls, the house, and those walls, like Hirsch pointed out, good asik, they keep rising up. And those really can be my walls. I don't see them, but they can be my walls. So even though I don't see them, when I have poles that connect right to the edge, it makes it better. I understand that Rabbi Yaakov says that's kosher. But if I put four poles in the middle of a roof, which is equivalent to really putting four poles, it stops in the middle of the ground. How would Rabbi Yaakov say that's a kosher sukkah? Yeah, you need to have walls. Where's your walls? So Mark explains this concept, according to Rabbi Yaakov, what's called a diamid. And that is that if I had, let's say I would have four L-shaped beams that are each beam, that it was an arm each direction. So I have four L-shaped beams, one in each corner of this sukkah. And I have pesach on top. Rav Yaakov's of the opinion, this actually has ramifications also Lagabi Shabbos, Lagabi if it surrounds a well, being able to draw water from the well on Shabbos, but let's leave it out for now. But Rav Yaakov's of the opinion that if I have an Am in each direction, that's enough to make it, to view it as if the wall continues, and I have four walls now. And once I have four walls, I pesach on top, and then it's kosher, my slach is kosher. So now, in the case with the scenario we were discussing, we said he put four kandesim, four round poles in the ground. So how do I get to my four walls that are L-shaped, that are to have my diamid? I don't have to actually do this, but I have to be able to be chakak. If I would carve out from these, it really depends what the circumference of these round pillars are. If I can carve out of this round pillar from the circumference, I can carve out a L-shape, like a square right angle, and each right angle has an am in each direction, then I have my diamid. Even though I don't actually create that right angle, I have four round pillars. I have four round pillars, and as long as I have tefach. Sorry, the Gemara says tefach. My apologies. Yeah, thank you. Shkayach ben. I have to be a tefach in each direction. As long as I have a tefach in each direction, right, that's much more realistic. And I'm very, once I have a tefach in each direction, as long as my pillars are large enough round-wise that if I carve it out, I have a tefach in each direction, then I'm good, and that's Abbasach. And that's what he means when he says kosher. Says Gemara, Rebecca said the yom of a sukkah, as Binyamin just pointed out, is a tefach. Chacham say no, for your sukkah, it's not good enough to do this method. You have to have two proper walls, kolchasam, which we've been discussing, the minimum share of two proper walls, besides Meshame, is Zayin al Zayin, two proper walls, and one of them could be tak, even a tefach, but two walls have to be proper walls. Okay. We had said in the, and again, just one point that I neglected to mention before, about the Deifin Akuma, is the Gemara said there's a chiddush in on Daf Talon that the Deifin Akuma applies to even all four sides. That's a chiddush. You can say Deifin Akuma, you have schach in the middle, very relevant for people that have in their houses built in, like these skylights. Almost, not always, sometimes skylights, they slide only to the edge. But very often, it's in the center of the room, opens up in some method, either they go straight up or they slide to the side. But the edge, the space around it on multiple sides is regular ceiling. And as long as it's within four amas, on each side, it still works. Okay. Says the Gemara. Sheni Gavei Avsar Tvachim. We said a sukkah that's not 10 Tvachim high is possible. Manolan, how do you know this? Says the Gemara. Itmar. Rav Rechni Rebechon, Rav Kvasai, Masnu. So the Gemara needs to know where is the source that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim tall? Now we're going to spend the entire daf. It's a pretty more simple daf where we're just going to go through more drushes to try to prove that what's called a dwelling area, 10 tefachim tall, what's called a rishus, 10 tefachim tall. We're going to ultimately have three sources for this. Three sources, two of them are very similar. The third source, kill any suspense, is simply Halacha Meshav Sinai. That's an easy source, right? The first two sources both relate to the Arain in the base of Migdash, in the Mishkan, the Arain, and the second one is the Kruvim, very very much related, the Arim and the Kruvim. Okay, the first source takes the most time. Let's see. Says Gemara now. Itmar, Rav, Rav Chanina, Rav Yechanan, Rav Chaviva. Rav, Rav Chanina, these four Amaran, Rav Yechanan and Rav Chaviva taught, and the Mar just points out, Bekul say the Mayad, whenever we're handling in Mayad, which is, of course, where we are, Kol Kei Gavna, Kol Kei Zuga, I should say, whenever you have these pairings of Chachamim, Chalufa, Rav Yechanan, Malay, Rav Yechanan, take out, sometimes, some say we take our Rav Yechanan, and we insert instead Rav Yechanan. So apparently when they learn the Sukkahs of Mayad, and you have these four Tanaim Amaram together, it would be Rabbi Yehonasan in the conversation, not Rabbi Yechanan. Okay, what was the conversation? Aron Tishuv v'Kaparas Tefach. The Aron HaKadosh was 9 tefachim tall, and the thickness of the Kapiris, the covering on top of the Aron, was a Tefach. So what do you have? Harei Kanasara. You have a total 10 tefachim. The Aron and the Kapiris covering it are a total of 10 tefachim. Uchsiv. And the pasuk says, "V'nayati l'cha sham, v'dibarati l'cha me'al Kapiris." And it's written that, in the pasuk there, that Hashem says, I will set up my I'll make myself known there, my meeting's there, and I'll speak with you from on top of the Kapiris, top of Hamad Aleph. V'tanya, we learned in the Braiser, B'Yisi Eimer, Ma'ilam Me'er Deshchina Lamata, V'Elish Meisher V'Elyo Lamarim. Ma'ilam Deshchina never came below into the 10 Amos below. The Deshchina doesn't come, so to speak, doesn't dwell here. It can come visit, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was everywhere. And further, Meisher B'Elyo never went above 10, Meisher Benu, which represents mankind, Elio, they never went Lamarin, they never went up to the Shemayim. Shemayim, 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 Hashem. We just said it today, I'm going to say it tomorrow with Shem, Rosh Chodesh, Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, the Aretz Nasan, Levnei Adam. So, Shemayim is Hashem, Aretz Nasan, Levnei Adam. We're going to, before we even get involved in this, we're going to see clearly the Gemara is going to be drushes that people don't go above 10 Tefachim. Right now, I think we're standing, if you look outside, we're standing way above 10 Tefachim. We're on the first floor of this building, but it's on a right, the building's on a little bit of an angle, right? Or there's a staircase, you gotta come upstairs. We're above 10 tefachim. So it doesn't mean physically people don't go above 10 tefachim. It means that above 10 tefachim is not the reshus of the Adam, whatever that means. We're not gonna get a much deeper hesper for now. That's a homework. But we're just gonna point out that it doesn't mean physically, and Akash Baruch also can come within Ted Vachem. But his Makkam Ashkina is above Ted Vachem, and the Makkam of Adam is below Ted Vachem. Says him right now. So before we go further, actually, so that's our source. We see this idea that the minimum shear of the Shekhinah never goes below 10, and mankind is supposed to be within 10. So we see this concept of 10 Tvachim is a proper Rishus. Actually, I had the privilege of speaking to your father, Dr. Gilbert, when I was walking in, and he asked me, what's that limud? The other limud we'll get, by the limud, we'll get ahead of ourselves now, by the schach, by the kruvim. The pasuk says a lashon of sichicha, that the kruvim's arms, their wings, were seichich. It was like a schach on top of the area above the iron. Okay, that's schach. That makes sense. Halacha Meshav Sinai is Halacha Meshav Sinai. But just because there's a reshus for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a reshus for mankind, and we're saying the reshus stops at 10 tefachim, how is that a source to what we want? So he asked me this question. I didn't have an answer. So he told me that he asked this question to Rabbi Boleg earlier, and Rabbi Boleg explained that really read the Gemara, it's pretty clear that's what the Gemara is indeed saying, that we're just demonstrating what's called a reshus. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't come below this and that we don't dwell above it shows that that's a shear of a rishus. 10 tefachim is a shear of a rishus. So would it make sense at the height of a sukkah would be less than what's called a shear of a rishus? Which really starts to get back to the Rishonim's explanation we gave on the Mishnah we spoke at already. Why is a sukkah less than the tefachim basel? So we spoke out already, Svar of Diris Rucha. We spoke it out. That's the basic Svar. We spoke it out yesterday's daf. We spoke it out from the Iri on the Mishnah. We also spoke out from the Ritva. It's not called Schach, unless it's above 10 tefachim, and we spoke out from the Ra'ah, it's not called walls, on 10 tefachim. But all that fits in very well. Diris Rucha is a different type of Svara, which is interesting why Gemara doesn't go there today. It's like we forgot about that Svara, but let's leave that aside for now. But the other two Svaras, if not being called a mechitza, or not being called a ceiling, like a schach, unless you have 10 tefachim, it fits very well, because it needs to have a status of a reshus to be called a schach, or to be called a mechitza. It really all fits, the Ritva and the Ra'ah fit very well with the same idea of what we're saying. That's the Gemara source here. The Gemara doesn't elaborate further on the connection to Sukkahs. It doesn't. It just brings this idea of 10 tefachim. The Mar now is just going to focus on the technicality. That v'leir the shulim mata does the shulim not go below 10 tefachim? V'chsev v'yir Hashem al Har Sinai, Kosh Baruch Hu descended upon Har Sinai. Sounds like he was mamish on Har Sinai within 10 tefachim. No, the malam asar tefachim. Mar answers, Kosh Baruch Hu was above 10 tefachim. V'chsev amdu araglav v'yemahu al har zesim. It says that he will stand. This is talking about Akash Baruch Hu, capital He. He will stand on his feet on har zesim. On har zesim, does that mean Akash Baruch Hu came all the way down to har zesim itself within 10 tefachim? No. Lamal masar tefachim. He was still above, hovering above 10. The Shekhinah was hovering above 10 tefachim. Now the Mar goes the other way. Follow Moshe and Eliyahu. The Moshe and Eliyahu not go above, not go into the heavens. They never ascend. Vachsim Moshe Allah. Elalekim, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says, Lamata Masara. He went up to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he still remained less than 10 tefachim to high. I have a chsibi aliyo, besara shemayim. I said, Eliyahu Navi, he ascended up to the whirlwind in Shemayim. Again, Lamata Masara. He was off the ground, but he was still within 10 tefachim. Vachsiv, again, whatever that means, I don't really have a clear touch with these things. We know famously Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to get the Torah. I mean, the Rambam is going to say, they came down to him. Okay, says Gemara Vachsiv Machas Pnei Kisei Parshas Alav Anonai. It says that he allowed. The point of here is that he was allowed to hold on to the face of the throne, and he spreads him upon him his cloud. What does that mean? Melamed She Shapirish Shakai Mizif Shkinasai Vanane Alav. It seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated. He separated from the where Shekhinah was, and he rested his cloud upon Moshe. Doesn't that seem like he rested the cloud upon Moshe? So, I mean, really, it's B'manoshach. Either means Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim, above 10 Tvachim, or the Shekhinah came down below 10 Tvachim. But either way, now, we have this one is a question. We know we already have the answers. Below 10, above 10, here it doesn't work because we're talking about the Shekhinah resting on Moshe. The answer is, it was exactly at the 10 Tvach point. Moshe was right below 10 Tvachim, and the Shekhinah was right above 10 Tvachim, says Gemara. Lamat Masara, Moshe Rabbeinu was still below 10 Tvachim. Mekomak Machas Pnei Kisei, but it says he's holding onto the throne. If he's holding onto the throne, does that mean he's above 10 Tvachim? No, Ishtavu Vishtav Relei Kisei Adasara, this is what I just mentioned a moment ago. The throne was lowered all the way down, Kav Yachol, till 10 Tvachim. Vinakalei, Moshe was able to hold onto it, so Moshe didn't leave the 10 Tvachim, and the throne didn't come down below 10 Tvachim, so we still have our shear. Okay. So, one second. So, let's just, we have to go through this with the Chesma first before outside questions. So now, we've established that the shear of an Arain and the Kapiris is 10 Tvachim, and we're saying the Shekhinah never came below that, Moshe never didn't go above that, so that seems to be the shear versus. So the Archanar points out, this will come up later towards the end of the Daf, but it's because I point that out already, the Archanar points out that really there's a fundamental machlokes from Meir and Rabbi Huda, what is the shear of an Amma? Particularly in the base of Mikdash. Meaning there's an Amma can be sometimes, a Tefach remains the same. A Tefach is standard, the shear of a fist of a person, right? Four fingers really. That's a Tefach, which we say is about roughly 4 inches wide, give or take. So the shear of an Amma is either 6 Tefachim or 5 Tefachim. That's what fast. Patience. The shear of an Amma is either 5 Tefachim or 6 Tefachim, right? Rameir says, everyone agrees, Rameir and Abita both agree, that when it comes to the Binyan, like Hirsch just said, it's 6 Tvachim. When it comes to the binyan, when it comes to the building dimensions, it's 6 Tvachim. But when it comes to the kalim, now we have machlekes. Rameir says, kalim also. Every amas were consistent, both by the binyan and by the kalim, like the mizbeach, the shulchan, the kalim are all 6 tefach amas. Amma was 6 Tvachim. Where that is the shita of Rameir. Rabbi the shita is that no. When it comes to the amas habinyan, the amas of binyan, it's a little confusing, but the amas habinyan for the for the architects or the builders, the amas habinyan were all 6 tefach amas. The amas of kalim were 5 tefach amas. So now we got a problem because we said the arein and the kapiris was 10 tefachim. We know the arein was an amma and a half tall, it's a pasuk chumash, amma v'chetzi, right? Amma v'chetzi. It says amma v'chetzi was the height of the aron. So amma v'chetzi, if the amma is 6 tefachim, amma v'chetzi is 9 tefachim. We know the kapiris is 1 tefach, so 9 plus 1 is 10. If it's like a gov, it's beautiful. According to Rameir, it's beautiful. 6 tefach amma for kelim is gevaldik. According to Behuda, that the tefach was for kelim was 5. The amma, sorry, for kelim was 5 tefach ammas. So 1.5 ammas is 7.5 tefachim, plus 1 tefach of the That's for the Aaron, plus 1 tefach for the Kapiris is 8.5. So you're 8.5, you're not at 10. What's going on over here? Come on, the Mar will address a very simple question later on, but the Archaner already brings up over here, and the Archaner says, the Argamaras only seems to be stimming like Rameir, not like Rabbi Huda. So he brings that Rambam Taka Paskins in Hilchas Beis Bechira and Per Gimel, Halacha Yebeis, we pass like Rameir. We pass like Rameir at the Amas Kalim, like the Amas Abinyan. We're all 6 tefachim. All the amas were consistent. The kalim and the binyan were all 6 tefach amas, and that's why Agamar is perfect. Agamar goes like a Meir Shita, and that's how he paskin. Problem is, we have a klal, Rameir Rabbi Yehuda, halach is Rabbi Yehuda. We have a klal, Rameir Rabbi Yehuda. So why is Rama paskining like a Meir? Why is Agamar going like a Meir? So the Mefarshim answer, I forgot where this brought down, but Gevaldig, that we have another klal, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, halach Rabbi Yosi. So between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. But between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, who's the author of our memor today? The Tanya, top words of the page? Rabbi Yosi Eimer. The memor that we just quoted is from Rabbi Yosi. Since between Rabbi Yosi and Muka Imai, since between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, halach is like Rabbi Yosi, so even though it's Rabbi Yehuda over at Meir, it's Rabbi Yosi over Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we pass him like Rabbi Yosi is agreeing to our Meir, therefore we pass him a very geshmaka piece. Okay. Let's go further, and we'll speak out more as we go along. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, Aron Tisha, I understand the Aron was nine tefachim high, Dichsiv, Vasa Aron Atzei Shittim, the Pasuk says you make Aron Atzei Shittim, made of this Shittim wood, Amasai V'chetzi Arkai, the length was 2.5 Amas, V'am V'chetzi Rachbay, the width was Am and a half, and of course, V'am V'chetzi Kamasai, this is a Pasuk everyone's familiar with, Chumash, Am V'chetzi Kamasai, that was the height of the Aron, which is again Am V'chetzi, is of course going to be 9 tefachim. El Kapiris Tefach Menolan, how do you know that the Kapiris was one tefach? What's the source that the Kapiris was a tefach thick? The Tanya of Chanina, Kol Kalim Sha'asa Meisha, all the Kalim that Meisha Rabbeinu made in the Mishkan, Nosbem Teiras Teira Midas Arkon Midas Rachman Midas Kamasan. All the Kalim made in the Mishkan, there was a Midah, a measurement for both the height, the width, the length given. Kapiris Midas Arkon Midas Rachman Nasna. Whereas by Kapiris, the measurement for its length and for its width was given, Midas Kamasan Nasna. But it wasn't given clearly what the thickness, the height, which is the thickness, what that measurement was. Salem Hamapachash Mekalim. So therefore, go and learn from the smallest of the kelim. It says that with regard to the shulchan, you should make a border around the shulchan. It was like this, not like a crown, but it was kind of like a crown. It seems that, well, we'll see later whether it was above the table or it was started from the height of the table and went downwards. By the way, there was this mascaris, this like, you know, this protection, this border around the shulchan. And how tall was it? Tefach. So very clearly, it was a tefach. Malhal tefach, afkan tefach. So just like by the shulchan, it was a tefach. So to be here, we're going to assume the height of this of the kapiris, the top of the aron, was a tefach. In fact, Marvin Efkem Gvayo. Why are we learning from the height of the cover of this? From this misgeris of the shulchan, learn from the kelim themselves. The kelim themselves were much more than a tefach. Says more tefach, more tefach. We have this idea three times in today's daf. We learned Yidaf. Yeah, three times I've had Daf A. Tefasmu, Tefasta, Tefasmu, Tefasta. The rule is that when you grab, you always grab less. You have no right to go grab more. And the Rashi always explains, because if you grab more, maybe what you grabbed is no good. But if you grab, you know, the least, you're certainly entitled to grab the least. And therefore, that's the method of how we darshan. Says Gemara still, V'nails Mitzitz. Why are you learning from this Misgeris? Learn from the Tzitz. The Tanya, learn the height of the kapiris, the cover, top of the aron, from the tzitz. The time we learned in a bais, the tzitz time we come in, tasha zav, it's like a plate of gold, a golden plate. V'rachav shetz bais, it's only 2 fingers thick. Remember, we said that the kapiris was a tefach. A tefach is like 4 fingers thick. And the tzitz is only 2, it's half the size. It's a half a tefach. V'rachav shetz bais, umukav maiz leizen, it would go around encircling the kain gadol, his head, from ear to ear, front of the forehead. V'kosav v'sheh shita, it have 2 lines in it. Yud and hey milmala, the kodesh lamed mamata, right? Yud and hey, yud and the hey above, and kodesh and the lamed mamata below. From the whole discussion, by the way, we don't have time for it. Whole discussion when it says yud and hey mamala, Agamar just says yud and then the letter hey. If you read it, you're reading yud and hey together. Yud and hey together pronounce the Shem Hashem. You're not even allowed to be call out the Isis of the Shem Hashem together. So that's why I keep saying it yud and hey. Not one after the other. Holds the Gemara doesn't say it that way. The discussion is that really a problem? Okay, but says the Gemara, you have Yud and Hey on one line, and the Kodesh and Lamed Mamata, which is Kodesh Hashem, V'Amar Belazer, Rabbi Yosi, Ani Risiv, Rabbi Yosi. I saw it in Rome when I was able to. Those whole backstory to this, I don't think. Well, if we have time, we'll speak afterwards. That I saw in Rome when I went with to try to curry favor from the government there. We had a chance to go inside and see and to go get a reward. And we got to go see the different kalim that were being stored there after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And what I saw about the tzitz was, and Yisiv, I saw because of Kodesh Hashem, it says Kodesh Hashem b'shit achas in one line. Okay, point is, what we need is that the height of the tzitz was two finger breadths, not 4. So why are you learning from the Mezgeris and saying the cover of the kapiris, the cover of the aron, was a full tefach? Maybe it's half a tefach like the tzitz. And says the Gemara, what do you mean? Done in klima kliva, done in klima tachshit. The tzitz was like more of a tachshit. It's like an ornament. It was like a piece of jewelry almost. The mascaris is more of a kli, as was the kapiris. It makes sense to learn kapiris from the mascaris as opposed to from the tachshit, namely the tzitz. Ask the Gemara, the neif mazar, learn the height of the kapiris from the zar, which means from the the crown. This crown is a crown that was, let's say, by Taka the Shulchan, by the Arain, and by the Mizbech HaPrimi. There was this little crown, and that was much. That's also that was smaller. It was a mashu. This mar v'nelf bazar v'damar mar zar mashu. This crown was very small. This is less, much smaller than a border. It was a mashu, and that was enough. So maybe that's how big the comparison is. Dana kli mikli and dana kli mechshu kli. Again, we learn out kli from a kli. Right, the comparison is a full kli unto itself. We don't learn out kli from a hechshu kli. That this zar, this little crown was more of a hechshu kli. It wasn't really. It wasn't ma'akiv as part of the kli. Iyachi, effective maskeres, not mi'hechshu kliyu. Isn't the maskeres also even that border piece around the shulchan? Isn't that also just a hechshu kli? It's not really the ikar part of the kli. Gemara says maskeres to lamat ha'isa. So Gemara now explains, like we discussed the Shabbat before, it's a question whether the maskeres' border was above the table. If it's above the table, then it seems to be more of just a not ma'akiv, more of a decorative piece. Border. If it's exactly ornamental. If it's going down from the table below, then maybe it's more supportive. More than just ornamental, and therefore that's how this mandamar holds, and that's what's considered a good rise. Says Mar, okay, very nice. Hanicha, the mandamar miskarta, the matahisa, if he holds, it was going downward, gewaldig. And the mandamar miskarta, the matahisa, if he holds, it's going upwards, above the tabletop. Ma'ikh, the man, what are you going to say? Hayashakli, it's also actually, and you can learn a comparison from it. So what's the learning comparison from there? Learn comparison from the zer, which is minimal. El dan and davish shenasna by Torah mida, medavish by Torah mida. You learn something where the Torah gave some measurements, which is miskeres. Remember, we said had two measurements. Just didn't have the miskeres. Sorry, had all the measurements. Miskeres had the measurements of teifach, and the kapares also had two measurements about the width and about the length, just not the height. So since he has measurements here, measurements there, we make that comparison. Vachichut sits v'zer, it sits in zer, which didn't have any measurements given in the Torah. We learned it out of other sources, but we have any measurements in the Torah. Therefore, shlein in the bar Torah, meet the cloud, you don't use that as a source for the kaparis. The kaparis is learned from the zgaris, and we say the height is a tefach. Plus the nine tefachim of the aron, total ten tefachim. Okay. Here's another source. Still, we're not going to source number two, that the shear of a sukkah has to be ten tefachim. We're still within this first source, that the aron, plus the kaparis is 10 tefachim, we're being a proof that the kaparis is one tefach itself. Rav Huna Amar Mehacha, how do you know the kaparis is one tefach? Al pnei kaparis kedma. It says when the kohen comes in, he should sprinkle the dam to the pnei kaparis kedma. Vein panim pachas matefach. It says lashon of pnei kaparis and the lashon panim has to be one tefach. In fact, Gemara ve'ema. By the way, that was last week's parsha. Just agav. Right, pnei kaparis kedma. Where is that? That Lashon HaPasuk is in, I'm pretty sure it's in Achrimis. Okay. Says Mar, V'eim Panim, Pachas Metefach, Panim is nevertheless not Tefach. V'eima, says Mar, Ka'apei, maybe it's like Ka'apei, Tapam Beis, to Bar Yechni. Maybe it's like the face of a Bar Yechni. Bar Yechni was a very large bird, and the Tap Rashi, I've Gadol Huma'ayin. It's a very large bird, and it's much bigger than a Tefach. And maybe that's the size has to be. What's saying Pnei? Maybe it's the Pnei of this large bird. You know the answer already. When we're grabbing, we grab the minimum. Well, we don't grab the big. In fact, we're grabbing minimal. They go much smaller. A human face is not the smallest face. Says Gemara, maybe compared to the face of a small bird, which is much smaller than a tefach. Tizuta tuva, amaracha bar Yaakov, Rafuna, and that's tefas demuit in a stronger fashion. Amaracha bar Yaakov, Rafuna pnei gamar, k'sivacha el pnei kaparis, k'sivasam meis pnei Yitzchak aviv. Use the word pnei by a human face, by pnei Yitzchak aviv. Use the word pnei by over here, by pnei kaparis. Therefore, makes sense to learn from a human face, and a human face we're saying is roughly it's got to be about a tefach. Says Gemara still, v'neilaf panim mepnim shamala. Why don't you learn it from the pnim shamala? Meaning the punim that's used, the word punim by Shemayim, like it says, to sit kureis pnei lekim vartuseni. Seeing your face was like seeing the face of like a malach of a something in Shemayim, and I was appeased by seeing this. That's what Yaakov said. But the point is that face would presumably be much larger. The face of an angel is probably much larger than a tefach. Again, the Mura's answer is, you know the answer, third time, tefasta muruba, lo tefasta, tefasta. We always take the small amounts. Very interesting point. I know we're late, very short on time, but we're still going to go for three more minutes. And those are for Meir, you have 2 minutes to Meir. Says the Rishon Lezion brings a raya of this Gemara. There's a famous machlokes Rishonim. We know Safek Deraisa, we go L'chumra. Rambam holds Safek Deraisa L'chumra is only Midrabanan. Midraisa, Safek Deraisa is L'kula. Midrabanan, we go by the Raisa L'chumra. Again, we hold Safek Deraisa L'chumra. Safek Derabanan, I say we, meaning that's the other Rishonim. Safek, that's the Raivin, others. We go Safek Deraisa L'chumra. Safek Derabanan L'kula. That's how we normally go, right? But the Rambam holds that Midaraisa, Safek is actually L'kula. Only Midarabanan L'kula L'chumra. Says we should see that beautiful Raya. We keep saying Tefasta Merubala Tefasta. Tefasta Merubala Tefasta. How could you say that to minimize the shear? If you have a Safek what the shear should be,
then you should take the larger shear. Mesafik, go with the larger shear. Mesafik, you should need a sukkah that's not just 10 tvachim, need a sukkah that's 11, 12 tvachim, just to be sure to cover al-stafasta, your mesafik. What gives you a right to take the smaller shear? It must be that midaraisa, anyway you go l'kula, safi deraisa goes l'kula, and therefore you're allowed to midaraisa take the smaller shear. I'm midaraisa, no mi'ol l'chumra, so we're not going to say that over here, like I've been the rice of sukkah, we won't go there, we still stick, of course, with the shear deraisa, which is the smaller shear. But if you're on safi, you go l'chumra, even midaraisa, so then you shouldn't be able to go to the smaller shear. That's what we should see as raya to the Rambam. Okay, however, the Vilna Gaon, Kiveg argues, says, nah, the approach we should see him is making is mistaken. Why? Because he's understanding it that tefasta mu'at, tefasta meruba, like tefasta, is a verdant suffix. I'm not sure what to do. It's a suffix. It's not a verdant suffix. It's the way, that is the drasha of the Torah. We have a cloud that the way to darshan the Torah is, when in doubt, that's not called a suffix. If when in doubt, there's an approach, and the approach is to take the smaller amount, then that becomes a vali. It's not a suffix. It's only a suffix if I'm left without knowing what to do. What do I do now? It's a suffix. It's not a suffix because the DNA Torah tells me that DNA Hilchus Darshaning Psukim, Tachi Psukim tells me Tefasta Mu'at Tefasta. So it's not a suffix. Once it's not a suffix, it doesn't even get involved with the Machlekes Rambam Ravid. Okay, let's go back. Let's go a little further. Another minute or two. Says the Gemara. The Nalef Me Kruv. Why don't we learn from the Kruv? Why don't we learn the size of the face from the Kruvim, which maybe is even smaller? Says the Gemara, "Dechsev El Kaparis Yupnei Kruvim." Amar Rach Kapar Yaakov Gemiri Ein Pnei Kruvim Pchusim Tefach. If we're nami Melchah Gamer Fakert Pnei Kruv is a good source because we have a Masaira at Pnei Kruvim was still Tefach in size. Whether the Kruv means the face of an adult, well, the Gemara discuss right now what it is. But whatever the Kruv is, we have a Masaira that it's the size of a Tefach, and therefore Fakert that goes to be a good source. That could be that's a Pruna source as well. My Kruv, what is the Kruv? Amar Vo Karavya. Kruv means like a child. Shekem Bevovel currently new Karavya. That's Rav Vavol's opinion. Ami Abayi, Ami Ata Dechsev, Pnei Echa, Pnei Kruv. That's one. Pnei Hasheni, Pnei Adam. It's two. Hainu, Pnei Kruv. There's four different faces on the that were there that were surrounding the throne. But the Chayra, it says over there, you have one was Kruv and one was Adam. But Kruv is Adam. Hainu Kruv, Hainu Adam. No, not Shver. Kruv is more of a child's face, and Adam is an adult's face. So that's two different faces. One was Taka Kruv, one was Adam, and Kruv Taka means a child's stone. Says them right now. Back to a question. We might on this limit. We're still on our first limit. How do we know that a sukkah has to be 10 fachim tall? Because we have different rishiyas, the Arain and the Kapyrus was one rishus of 10 fachim. But frankly, who says that the sukkah has to be above 10? Maybe 10 includes the schach. Says more Maida Khalala Asura Barasvacha, who says that the size of the sukkah is going to be 10 tvachim. Without the schach, and the schach is over and above the 10 tvachim, you need 10 tvachim space between. Aim about the sukkah, maybe includes the schach as part of the 10 tvachim. So if the schach is of a tefach thick, your airspace under the schach only has to be 9 tvachim. Maybe, says the Gemara. Elm basic lamb. So we're now being source number 2. I don't want to run through this. I know we didn't finish this up, but tomorrow's a little shorter. So we're going to pick it up from source number 2 and 3 tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening. Yeah.